Good morning, everyone. Good morning in the foyer too out there. And obviously to those online as well, thank you for joining us for the Vines United Church today. Trust this will be a service of encouragement as we here to worship our God, to listen to our God, to be encouraged by our God. And, we've also got the Leprosy Mission here today as well, who are going to share a bit about the work that they do, which is pretty amazing. We come here because we put our trust in God. We put our hope in God. And this little story from Luke, Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, finally realised that, a son was to be born. And this is what he said about Jesus. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up the horn of salvation for us. And in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide us, our feet, in the ways of peace." That was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist, of course, would be the one that would guide the people to get ready for the Son of God. So you're invited this morning to come, to relax, to be encouraged as we come into worship.
Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for drawing each one of us here. For we know we do not come unless we are called, and you call us because you love us. Lord, help us to put aside the distractions of our lives, that we may hear your voice clearly, that we may open our hearts to what you have to say to each one of us, that we may rejoice in your presence and in the presence of the fellowship around us. And Lord God, that you may be glorified in our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So let's stand.
God, in you I put my trust. everything I say and do be founded by my faith in you. I lift my holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring.
Glorify your name, grace overflowing. Before you sit down, please turn around to those near you and welcome them here. Give them a wave, an elbow in the nice Christian way.
Good to see you.
Hey, did we? Online. Hey, dig me, how are you, mate? Well, as part of our time together, we normally do some things for the children. Sam, where are you? I think Sam's my main man today. And for those kids online, good to see him. It's going to be a bit hard to experience this today. Now, Sam, when you grow up, what do you think you'll be? How do you think you'll be? Massively tall? Massively wide? Do you think you'll be so handsome all the girls will go, oh? What do you think? I mean, do you have a picture of what it means to be magnificent and wonderful? I mean, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? What about everybody else here? Do you think, you know, when you... I guess, yeah, as someone said, I'm assuming you've all grown up. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I was looking through my garage, and I'm not sure about your home, but my home, my garage, has got some antique stuff that's been there for years. And I once came across a picture of someone who God loved the most, and I forgot I had it. I even wrapped it in a perfect, wonderful box, and I'd forgotten I had it. I'd dusted off. And I found it. The picture in this box is of the person who is most loved by God. Wonder, what would that person look like, do you think? What would that person look like? Any ideas? Jesus, that's a good answer. I'm always willing to accept that as the correct answer. But there's something more. In this box, you will discover who God loves the most. But you got to take a risk. You got to have a look. Are you going to have a look? Do you want to have a look? What do you think? Just to show nothing happens when you have a look. I'm going to have a look.
Santa.
Not Santa. Come up here, Sam. Come on. Come on. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Are you ready? You need to get down a little. Ready? Sandy, go. Who is that? Who is that? Hey. Okay, if you're wondering, it's a mirror. Who does God love the most? What did that feel like, Sam? To know that God loves you just the way you are. Yeah, that's pretty. Okay, have a seat. Thanks, buddy. So one of the things today, our scripture reading, which we're going to hear shortly, picks up the tension between comparisons and acceptance of who we are and how we are loved. And as part of our notices today also, we're going to do a six-week series called Her Story, which is really picking out different women of the Bible and getting some reflections on, I guess, from a modern perspective. Like, the Bible was written 2,000 years or 3,000 years ago in some sections. And so what does it mean for us today in a modern environment? Men and women. And so we're going to hear some of her story. Pam and others are going to be helping me with this over the next 6 weeks. And Marge is going to launch it next week during Holy Communion. So we look forward to that. Today we have the Leprosy Mission giving us a spot. And there's a table at the back again, which will be great. Again, there's some opportunities to celebrate lunch during the week if you're a fella. Online opportunity to come along to the Vines Golf Club and have a lunch on the Wednesday. Isn't that right, Bob? Bob and Bob. All right. I think that's enough from me. Good to see you all here. It's hard getting out of bed sometimes, isn't it? It is hard getting out of bed, so good to see you. All right. Thanks.
Good morning. Two men went up to the temple to pray. one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Fly high, let passions rise. Christ is alive. An opportunity for you to reflect on this next song as we share it with you. Feel free to join in if you want it. Let's just remain seated.
We all need to hear Jesus.
We're going to pause now as we offer prayer for the lives we give back to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We're grateful for everything we have. Today we offer again our lives, the very substance of who we are, the time that we have, and the money that we can offer to be used in this world for your kingdom. We ask a special blessing on this money, our lives, to be used by you this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're very fortunate today to have Jenny and David with us. Elaine was very keen to get us exposed and continue focused on mission beyond the world and beyond the walls. So thanks, Jenny. Good to see you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share about the work of the Leprosy Mission and to know that this congregation is very keen and a long supporter of this work. You may not know that the Leprosy Mission was founded in 1874 by Wesley Bailey and his wife, who had just visited India and were concerned with these people who they saw with leprosy. And so they went back to the UK. They started the Leprosy Mission work with £30. And look where we are today, working in 21 implementing countries, over 200 projects, and the Australia started linking in with them in 1913. So the COVID pandemic has seen Leprosy Mission in most countries rising to the challenge, raising awareness of the impact of the virus. With lockdowns, their help was needed to spread the word via radio, TV, sign language, telecounselling, and donating free packages producing protective masks. And they had the initiative to use clear plastic here on the mask so people could still lip read if they'd lost their hearing. And they were helping with mobile clinics also in India to reach hundreds of people with leprosy and disabilities who would otherwise miss out on getting to a clinic. So the aim of the International Leprosy Mission by 2035 is to have leprosy under control. They're doing this with three main projects. We have zero transmission, with the work in laboratories in Nepal, India, and Bangladesh, and the trials of administering an antibiotic to the people who have contracted leprosy and who are in contact with others. And this is also early detection and testing, all aid in this. And this little photo up here is of people in Indonesia receiving testing on their skin to check whether they've contracted leprosy or not. Because if they have contracted leprosy, they can give the multi-drug therapy immediately, and within 24, 36 hours, they'll no longer be contagious, and they'll need that medication for 6 to 12 months. And this way, it avoids them developing disabilities. So we have zero transmission, zero disability programs. And these zero disability, Australia supports two hospitals in India at Salur and Kathara. Now we have food distribution photo there in Salur, and the other one as well, helping during the pandemic. And we have a photo of tendon transplant in Kathara. This is when their hands all cripple up because the nerves aren't working properly. And David and I went to Nepal with a group from Australia in 2019, and we were actually able to go into the surgery and watch the doctor perform this magic bit of surgery of tendon transplant so that the person can then have a hand that is useful to them and they'll be able to work in some capacity and earn a living. So leprosy mission is trying to avoid disability for these people. There is also the supply of footwear and orthotics, surgery, dental, rehabilitation, mental health and maternal care, and cataract surgery at these hospitals, which are also open to fee-paying patients. But with the government restrictions during the pandemic, a lot of these people couldn't come into the hospital, and therefore the hospitals weren't receiving their revenue from these other patients. The leprosy patients can get help for free. So these hospitals are struggling a little bit at this time. We do have a record that the number of leprosy patients seen during 2021 in these two hospitals was 3,750 were treated. So it's a big need in the community. Then we have zero discrimination. People are discriminated against in these some of these countries still, and there are even laws in some of these countries that discriminate leprosy. But with negotiations, some of these laws are being wiped out. So we have vocational training centres for people who are recovering from leprosy or disability, and by having these, it helps these people to find work after 6 months, 12 months of study in things like mechanics, tailoring, electricians, and many more. So each of these three zones are important on their own, but they are also interrelated. Early detection of leprosy is key because it prevents lifelong impairments and stops ongoing transmission. Preventing impairments and disability can in turn reduce stigma and discrimination. So one works against the other. Likewise, tackling stigma and discrimination may help to reduce transmission because people are now confident to front up to a medical centre to get help, whereas they might hide themselves in their village or their hut or whatever because they're too afraid of the stigma that is out there. So there are various self-help groups too. Once they overcome leprosy or their disability, they can join in on a self-help group and they receive education to participants in reading and writing, business management, and this builds social solidarity and empowers the people to educate their families and communities about their experiences, normalising leprosy and disability and reducing discrimination. Educated people are empowered people, and empowered people are more able to stand up for their rights. You may or not have heard of Nagamal down in Tamil Nadu in India. She was left in during the floods in a hut, and she was suffering badly with leprosy results. And the leprosy mission came to her rescue, and now she's very strong and determined to help others who have had disabilities. So you can pick up leaflets like these out the front afterwards. So Jesus does overturn the stigma of leprosy. So thank you for the opportunity to share briefly of the work, and yeah.
Thank you, Jane.
See us at the table afterwards if you have any questions.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word says, "Let not your heart be troubled." The state of our world is causing us to be troubled. But God, you know all things. So we pray for every country and every nation. We pray that you will give peace that comes only from you. That we are mindful, eternal God, that you are our keeper, our companion, You created the stars and the earth, the hills, the mudflats, the sheep, the seagulls, dolphins, cyclones, and clear still days. You created the galaxies and the sunbeams and the particles of dust that float in them. You have put everything in motion and you hold all life together. And now we remember that you have created us also. Carefully you knit us together, body and spirit, emotions and mind. O God, hold our lives together too. Within ourselves we carry the stresses of the week, a week of too much to do, or not enough to do, of too many people wanting of our time, or of not enough people wanting us. A week of trying to keep the different strands of our lives in some sort of order, of trying to change behaviour patterns that are not working and finding ways that do work. You created us, O God, like galaxies, like sunbeams and particles of dust. You know what we are like. Hold us together. Come deep within our hearts, into the most innermost centre, the very core of our being. Let there be a flame of love burn quietly. Let it bring light into the darkness and warmth into our coldness. Let it burn away what we do not need, the pettiness, the hidden cruelties, the manipulations and power games, the subtle violations of other people, especially those we love the most. Let the flame be life like yours, the flame of your life in us, a flame of hope, a flame of courage, a flame of freedom for us and for others. So hold us together, O God, in our fragility and joy, and let our lives be an expression of your life. Our friendships be carriers of your grace, and may our work together be the fruit of the presence of Christ within us. Amen.
Yes, we're blessed with a number of wonderful prayers. One of the things I wanted to, didn't mention during the notices, is like many congregations and churches, you know, finances have been tight. And so we've really been blessed with a lot of people continuing to commit to the ongoing work of the church. And, you know, it's Murphy's Law, isn't it? You know, when things are tight, all these other expenses come along. So we've, Neville and Kristen and a number of others have been working hard on trying to do some maintenance at the manse, which is long overdue. And so there was a couple of security issues with one of the retaining walls falling down. Not a good thing. So we've spent some money on that to get that up to peace. So we've got some people who've been working hard to put some time and effort into making sure the manse is fit for our tenants that we have. So it's just Murphy's Law, isn't it? You know, things are tight and you've got all these other things happen. But that's just life, isn't it? You know, it happens. So as we continue our time together, it's good to see you here and those online. Hope you're enjoying this service, whatever time it might be. So let me share a prayer. Lord God, life can be complicated at times, and we recognize that there's lots of things impacting on us. Our society and our conflicts in the world have just changed a lot of things. We continue to pray for faith, and as we've sung today, and as we've heard prayed, that we might open our lives to trust. Trust you more. Trust each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not sure about you, but I really should be wearing glasses. But I'm a little bit stubborn. So when I start getting over here, you'll know that I really should be wearing my glasses. Look, one of the hardest things in life is, apart from accepting what's going on, I think we have faith. And I think it's one thing to believe in faith, but I don't think that's the hardest part. I think the hardest part is living out our faith, isn't it? It's like The hardest part about life is not necessarily thinking about life, but actually living out life. The older we get, it's a wonderful thing to achieve the age, but lots of things happen, don't they? The body that used to be able to run 4-minute miles no longer can. Maybe we only could do that in our dreams anyway, but you know what I mean. There's so much change going on. And while I'm not 60, I'm beginning to look at that next year and think, wow, my goodness, what is happening? I'm really celebrating the fact that I'm as old as I am, because I know lots of others don't get that. But it's just like, it's a big shift. And so I think last week when we were reflecting on the journey of life, I think it was really significant. And I think one of the things I like to say is, one of the good things about old age is at least you can say you got there. One of the challenges is things stop working as they used to. I guess for me, part of the journey of life is gathering experiences. And so I actually have a lot more skills now than I ever did when I was 30. I might have had more energy when I'm 30, but I have a lot more skills and insight and wisdom because I've had an extra 30 years of experience and reflecting on that and life. And so I often see it as a gathering together of all these extra skills and sets I have. I came across a really interesting quote that I think a number of you will resonate with. A strong woman is one who can build a firm foundation with the bricks others throw at her. It's an interesting quote, isn't it? Like, if we consider that life throws stuff at us, I mean, what are the bricks that are thrown at us? Illness, people's criticism, it could be a whole variety of stuff. The way we think about ourselves, bricks. Throwing bricks. And it's not necessarily being a female to have bricks thrown at you. You could be a male as well. I like the idea of building bricks upon the criticisms of others. Now, if you are really, as a female, I can't speak for being a female, but if you want as a female to be enlivened, I went and saw a movie yesterday which was called Woman King. Now, you need to strap yourself in if you're going to go and watch that, women, but you should come out of the theater flexing your muscles, feeling inspired. And no one's going to be throwing a brick at you when you're running around as a warrior princess. So it was an interesting movie to watch. But look, I guess for all of us, we struggle at times. And our scripture reading picks up some of that as well. And I think one of the experiences in life, and I like this next quote, is that we cannot put old heads on young shoulders. Now, this is obviously, the dad has done something really funny here and clever. He's transported his head onto his son's. Now, the truth is that, you know, we look at people in life and you think, what were they thinking? And it's very hard because when we have years of experiences, we know often the consequences of behavior before it happens. Whereas many people will do something and then learn from it. So it's one of the advantages, again, of old age is that you actually have a level of understanding that younger people don't. And that's a gift as well. And that's why often they'll say that grandparents are some of the most influential people in a grandchild's life. Why? Because A, they don't have the pressure of being a parent. B, they can spoil them rotten. I'm looking forward to that. And C, you actually have a lived experience you can speak into the grandchild's life, which, as you know, I'm looking forward to. One of the other things that was really interesting I came across during the week was they did a survey on the generation of the baby boomers, which most of us are, a few exceptions. But they asked the question, if you could go back in time, what is the advice you would give your younger self? They probably should have asked, and would you have listened? You know, advice is free to give. But there were some quick responses that they came back with. Some of these were quotes on risk-taking. Concentrate on opening, not closing doors in life. Don't be afraid to try new things and don't be afraid to fail. Plan for the future but live for the present. The key to life is how well you plan your plan B. Quotes on love. Don't be so hard on yourself. Learn to accept and love yourself. Be more careful with your heart. Love intensely. Live hard. Love more. Laugh often. I'm sure we could add some extras to that, couldn't we? And it's, again, it's this journey we're on. And I guess part of our reading from last week, when we were thinking of John Newton, as I've written on the front article, you know, a part of his journey of faith aggravated me, I have to admit. But there was something about his quote which was actually really quite true and reflected something significant about his faith still growing 30, 40 years after his conversion. Growing our faith. As his faith matured, Newton's remorse over his involvement in the slave trade surfaced and galvanized him. And as we reflected on that 37 years later after his conversion, having been a slaver, he suddenly realized, oh, being a slave is not very nice. It's bad. So you can see I was still a bit aggravated. But what is interesting is that his faith kept growing and maturing. And the insight came. And as part of that process, he was still able to write the hymn Amazing Grace, which has been a profound hymn, really. Like when 9/11 occurred and the towers were taken down by the terrorists, Amazing Grace was one of those songs that was played regularly. I remember doing a memorial at Royal Adelaide when I was there during the towers coming down, and Amazing Grace was the critical hymn to that. And so many other of those memories and memorials based around that song. So it's a powerful legacy that he left as he continued to grow his life. And I loved Fiona's summary at the end of last week, which really basically said, you know, God can use us at any age. And that is so true. And sometimes, often, the older we get, we actually have more to offer because we've learnt more. Might have forgotten more, but we've learnt more. One of the quotes I came across was, one of the greatest gifts that older people have is they are less worried about the peer pressure of society. I'm not sure how you feel about that. Are you less worried about what the rest of society thinks and more convinced about, you know what, actually this is important, I need to do something about it? And I think for me it always comes back to this, the process of awareness. Without awareness we cannot change. And this brings us to our scripture reading. Because there's a great image of the Pharisee, and the Pharisee was a fine upstanding person. He did everything that was asked of him. So it's, you know, he's not a bad guy, but he just felt superior to the other person who was just a tax collector. And last week we talked about Zacchaeus, who was roundly hated by everybody because of his working for the Romans. And so when the Pharisee, who was a nice bloke, nice person, did everything right, compared himself to the sinner, the tax collector, who everybody hated, he felt superior. He felt better. He felt somehow he was more worthy of being loved. But he missed the point, because the sinner recognized that the tax collector, the relationship between him and himself. When we compare ourselves to each other, yeah, sure, we could say, well, but that's not the point. When we compare ourselves to God, there's that theological statement, isn't it? There's that disconnect. There's that realization we just fall short. And I think our society in many ways loses perspective. They think the main thing which defines success is the way in which we compare ourselves to others. And I came across a story of a woman. Oh, I've just given it away. Came across a story of a financial planner who was so keen on being wealthy that this person ripped off all her closest friends and all her family to the tune of something like $30 million. And this person, if you met in the street, you would not even consider was a serial rip-off merchant. So let's have a look at the photo. So if you met this person, you would think she looks like a fine, upstanding woman. And yeah, she seriously wasn't. She spent all her money ripping off her friends, $30 million, just to spend on herself. Houses, cars, just insane. So Melissa Caddick, she disappeared. They know or think she's dead because they found her foot in a shoe on a beach 6 months later. So that's pretty grisly. Sorry for that. If you're eating your breakfast, sorry. But there's a sense in which somewhere she missed the mark of what was going on. So great was her need to be better than everybody else. She didn't care who she hurt in the process. Today I was reading the newspaper, the Sunday Mail, and Ash Barty. And often we think the tension is just simply external, but for her it was internal. She was talking about how it was almost like two voices in her head. One said, "You're not good enough, Ash." The other said, "You can do it." And so there's an inner turmoil for her, which meant that a number of times trying to win at Wimbledon just fell apart because she listened to the negative inner voice that said, "You can't do it. You're hopeless. Forget it. You're a failure." And it wasn't until she was able to actually focus on, "Yes, I can do this stuff, that I was worthy, that I was skilled," that things changed for her. And as we know, she won Wimbledon and a whole pile of other things. So this comparison can be something that happens within us, this tension. So I guess a lot of it comes down to recognizing our need, recognizing who we are, recognizing that we have to take responsibilities for ourselves. And you wonder how people's lives would have been different if they'd actually paused, take a bit of a moment and thought, "Well, actually, what do I need to take responsibility for? What do I need to take acceptance of? What are those things that make a difference?" So for us as Christians, we cannot talk about sin without forgiveness. We can't talk about our things that we fail without recognizing that those words of amazing grace hold us true, that there is forgiveness, there is hope. These are just three verses out of the five. What is your favorite line out of this, out of the amazing grace? Hopefully it's big enough for you to see. Everybody can see that? No? Yep. Let's say this together. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." I would like to imagine that tax collector, when he just laid out his life and said, "Look, I don't know what's going on for me. I need help. I need hope." Part of this whole recognition. And for me, it's not about feeling bad about ourselves. But for me, faith is really trying to help us to be all that we can be based on God's choice and love and acceptance. You know, mirror time. You know, where you think, "Does God love me or not?" Yes. Just a beautiful image. And I love Sam's face when he looked at that mirror. And I've seen it time and time again. And one kid, when I did this at this children's talk at Dernancourt, I showed it to him. He wanted back a second look. He came again because he was just so confronted with the reality that God loves each one of us so fully. That's just a beautiful thing. I'm going to pause now as we invite you to think about one thing you're going to take away from today. What is one thing that stirred your thinking? Prayers, song, I don't know. If you need to turn to the person next to you and have a chat, please go on. You've got 20 seconds. I've just been informed that today is Grandparents' Day. Another day to feel really special. But look, let me pause and offer you a prayer before we invite the band to come back up. Lord Jesus, it is our heartfelt prayer that we can really understand this love that you died for. May we somehow really be able to see ourselves in a way that you see us, fully loved and accepted. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, David. By grace, we are loved. By grace, we are free. Because the creator of the universe says so. Every single one. So as we leave the doors today, walk out knowing we are free people. Let's stand and sing "How Great Is Our God."
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to
for you this week. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.